Center for Competition, Regulation and Economic Development and Political Economy South Africa are holding a public seminar on the African Continental Free Trade Area. In addition, 44 members of the 55-nation African Union signed up to the Continental Free Trade Area, known as CFTA, an agreement which proposes a common market across the African continent. The new bloc would result in the largest free trade area in terms of participating countries since the formation of the World Trade Organization. But Nigeria and South Africa, the region's two largest economies, did not get on board, citing concerns over safeguarding jobs and cheap Chinese goods flooding the market. The dream is that every nation on the continent will eventually join in and create a trade bloc with a combined gross domestic product of more than $3 trillion. Now, as we celebrate Africa Month, let's talk more on this. As I mentioned earlier, I'm joined in the studio by Thando Vilakazi, Senior Researcher at the Center for Competition, Regulation and Economic Development, as well as Siya Piniza, Political Economist, specializing in industrial policy, regional industrialization and regional integration and political economy, Southern Africa. Gentlemen, good afternoon to you both. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good afternoon, Ernest.
Yes, you can just come a little closer to the mic there, Thando. And we'll start with you, Siya. Before we get into today's questions around the CFTA, how would you rate the performance of the African economy thus far in 2018?
Yes, I think so far we've not seen anything different from the usual. But I think with the signing of the Continental Free Trade Area, we might be entering a whole new period, a whole new era, in African development and in African economies as a whole. But, you know, the challenge is that, you know, Africa as a region still contributes very little, negligibly, between 1% and 2% in terms of international trade, if you count in exports terms. However, you know, the global economy and regional and global value chains still depend heavily on primary inputs that are exported from the continent. And so the big challenge and part of the main aim of the CFTA is to transform African economies from exporting raw materials into manufacturing and beneficiating some of the goods so that we can move into higher levels of global and regional value chains.
Now, I suppose, Thando, it's the same question, but in a more progressive way. I'm sure we'll all agree there were years when we referred to the African continent as the continent, the dark continent, as it were, but a couple of years in, we refer to it as the continent on the rise, Africa rising, in other words. How would you describe Africa today?
I would absolutely agree with those sentiments. I think if you look at the data, certainly, of the recent years, you've seen that intra-Africa trade has essentially doubled since 2005. You've mentioned yourself the GDP of the continent is somewhere around $3 trillion, and so that speaks to potential. It speaks to opportunities for investment and increasing trade within the continent, but also ultimately improving the livelihoods of people in the different countries. So in terms of more income, more opportunities for jobs and that as well. From a South African perspective, which is quite important to note, is that integration and participating in the continent is very much in our interest. If you look at the figures around the growth in our exports since the 2000s, trade to SADC has in fact been one of our lead growth areas. We're talking here about food products and various goods that are now increasingly be consumed in different parts of the continent. So I'll speak about potential and certainly a forward-looking view that says that with the CFTA and other measures, there's good opportunities for growth in the region. And we can talk about an Africa rising.
Africa rising, indeed. I mean, I'll throw in this question. The president recently uttered those sentiments about one currency and the rest of it. Do you think that's feasible as well?
Well, I think if we can build on what we've already established as a base, and I think that's the direction that African countries are going towards. Mm-hmm. I think our historical legacy from colonialism and how it's created nation states, which are vastly, you know, artificial in the way that we've developed our nation states. Because, for example, you get a huge country like Namibia, which has a small population of around 1.2 to 2 million people. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you have a small country like Nigeria, which has over 150 million people. And so all these inequalities are only going to be, you know, resolved by integrating African economies, but at the same time, us trading amongst each other. I definitely think that Africa is on the rise, and what we've seen in the rest of the global economy is this disintegration. You might have heard about the U.S. trade war with China, although that seems to be subsiding now. You also must have heard of Brexit. You know, the whole, you know, international global economy is becoming a scary place or a mistrusted place. And I think African economies are able to push by integrating themselves, as we've seen with the East African community. So to answer your question, you know, can we reach a single currency? It's a difficult journey, but we've got experience in the case of the common monetary area, the Rand monetary area, as it used to be known, where you have South Africa, Lesotho, Namibia, and Swaziland accepting the Rand. Although it's not a reciprocal relationship, we've learned a lot from that. And what they're trying to do now is expand it further, firstly by establishing a regional payment mechanism through the SADC-CIRIS system. But as we then increase the trade and economic relations amongst the countries, it then becomes only logical that we have a single currency.
But one has to throw in this question. I mean, politics and leadership in Africa, including conflicts as well. Some may say there are conflicts elsewhere, but we'll stick to the continent as it's Africa on the rise. As you mentioned as well, what role do these play? I mean, leadership within the continent and the conflicts as well in our economic performance as a continent.
Yeah, look, I think those are very important issues. And as you say, you know, we like to kind of narrowly think that the African problems are only African problems. I mean, there's challenges in Eastern Europe, there's challenges in parts of Asia as well. And yet you've seen countries grow and manage to establish industrial bases even despite difficult situations or recoveries from conflict periods and that as well. What that tells us that, and you know, if you look at a kind of an environment of stability, I suppose, if you will, to some degree in the region, is that the time for those kind of fights and battles is over, and it's time to now build lives and to build infrastructure and to build investment. So I think the opportunities are there. I think the fact that a number of governments have spoken positively and have even signed on to the CFTA, for instance, points to the fact that people are ready to talk economics and see how we can make this continent grow. And that's not for the purpose of simply saying, oh, we trade with each other in Africa and it's very nice, but actually to say this is potential to develop our capabilities. You know, the more you export, the more you improve the quality, the substance of your products, which actually makes you competitive in global markets as well. And hopefully then in some time to come, we may be competing with China in some of these spaces, certainly in terms of agricultural products, for instance, but also perhaps beneficiated mineral products and other areas like that. So I think the potential is there. The politics will always be there, and I think it would be naive to think it's not.
No, certainly. And earlier we were talking about innovation and, you know, the popular term disruption or disruptors. Also research pointing out to the fact that we could be lagging behind when it comes to catching up with that disruptive term or innovation, as it were. Do we see that? How do we make Africa compete globally?
Look, if I could just start off by adding a point around the issue of stability and, you know, conflict on the continent. I think we need to also understand the important role that regional economic communities play in resolving conflict. What we've seen in West Africa, for example, when former president of the Gambia refused to step down, that ECOWAS came together, put together a force, intervened, and we were able to reestablish democracy in the Gambia. Similarly, we would not have resolved issues in Lesotho, we would not have resolved issues that are currently being resolved in the DRC, for example, without these regional economic bodies that intervene. But to speak to the issue of innovation, I think although African economies seem to be lagging behind as a result of deficits in terms of infrastructure, energy infrastructure, even economic infrastructure, there are still pockets of innovation. We've heard of M-Pesa, which has disrupted completely the financial sector and even the way in which people consider and think about financial inclusion coming out of Kenya. We've also seen now developments, sort of South Africa, for example. People are now flying drones everywhere. It's becoming a huge trend, and people don't know that this is the South African invention. Similarly, in Rwanda, they're starting to use these drones to deliver medical supplies. So there's a whole few pockets of innovation on the continent that needs to be integrated so that Africa can rise and take its, you know, well-earned position and its potential in the global economy.
All right, and we'll talk about that convergence and Africa coming together, going back to my opening there, that 44 members of the 55-nation African Union signed up to the Continental Free Trade Area, the CFTA, an agreement which proposes a common market across the African continent. The new bloc would result in the largest free trade area in terms of participating countries since the formation of the World Trade Organization. But Nigeria and South Africa, the two largest regions, economically speaking, did not get on board. We'll talk in depth about the CFTA coming up after the break. My guest, Tando Vilagazi, senior researcher at the Center for Competition, Regulation and Economic Development, as well as Sia Biniza, political economist specializing in industrial policy, regional industrialization and regional integration at Political Economy Southern Africa. Will take your calls as well, or any questions around Africa and its economic performance as well, on 0891 104 207.